This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
I'm Bart Scott. Bart Scott, the Mad Backer, the Pro Bowler, the linebacker you did not want to meet on the football field. Ravens, Jets, Alan Hahn, the guy who clearly never watches the NBA, according to Twitter. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline.
They struck a nerve, Alan.
No, it's not a nerve. No, I call this shadow boxing. Like, people say, why do you engage? Because it's shadow boxing. It kind of keeps me, like, engaged. Yeah. Like, I get loose as Jay Will joins right now. I want to bring Jay into this conversation. He joins us via the Goodyear Hotline. So, Jay, like, I make a simple compliment. I mean, and I felt like it was a really nice compliment of a player that I used to be very critical of. I mean, very critical. And all I said this morning, when I looked at it, I watched the game last night, and StatMuse put up his numbers and just how insane it is. 30 points, 15 assists, zero turnovers in a game. Like, it's just unbelievable. And I said, I can't get enough of watching the Nets version of James Harden play basketball. And people that know me know how outrageous this is for me to admit. It's not the same bearded three-chucking flop machine who played in Houston. This is a maestro. And I hate myself for loving it. And I'm getting Rockets fans and Harden stands that are like, oh, so you never really watched him play then in Houston. Am I wrong that he is a better version of himself now in Brooklyn than he was in Houston?
Well, the styles are very different. I think that translates to the styles, Alan, more so than anything. This is more of a collaboration between Nash and Mike D'Antoni instead of the Mike D'Antoni three ball style that we saw them try to perfect. And I think that this style has unlocked James Harden in ways, also playing with Kyrie, with the skill set that Kyrie brings to the table. And I look in the game against the Mavs, you know, he didn't look that great, right? But I think when you play alongside Kyrie with the skill set that Kyrie has as playmakers, it's with a different style. He's never been in a situation like that. So, yeah, look, I also think a change of scenery brings a different foresight to people for James Harden. So I think he actually feels that there is a legitimate chance for them to win the whole damn thing. Whereas, you know, did he feel that way at times when he was in Houston? Yeah, but it was also like he had to do everything every single night. Now I feel like he's just playing with gravy, house money to a degree.
Now, when KD went to Golden State, you know, it was a lot of criticism. It seemed like he was just chasing. Why would you go to a team that beat you the year before and you were up on? But KD quickly showed that he was the best player amongst that group. When I look at James Harden and what he's been able to do, I know people still may think that, you know, Kevin Durant is the best player, but is James Harden the most important player?
Well, he unlocks everybody, Bart. I mean, you heard Kyrie say it. You know, you might as well get used to it. He takes all that responsibility off the shoulders of Kyrie to be a playmaker for everybody else. Kyrie can just focus on scoring. KD can just focus on scoring and defending. Look, at the end of the day, KD is still the big dog. I mean, he's one of the greatest players the game has ever seen. And I'm not saying that's not the case for James Harden. But, you know, you will need KD down the stretch for those really big moments. But the three of them together, that's why. Look, when this trade went down and people want to say, oh, you're just a Nets fan. Yes, I did grow up a New Jersey Nets fan. But at the same time, I've also been the person to tell you how bad the Nets have been for a very long time. Like, I spoke highly about it. So when this whole trade happened, I said, this is the deadliest scoring trio in the history of the game because of all their skill sets combined. I didn't know if it was going to work out from a team perspective. I said I thought James Harden should be on the ball. But from a scoring perspective, the game has never seen anything like this before.
If they get it done, would you arguably say this is the best big three ever put together?
I mean, James, I know that we said about this. I think the conversation then comes down to ready Kyrie and Clay, because KD kind of cancels KD out, right? It goes to Steph and James. Steph is the greatest shooter I think the game has ever seen, especially with his skill set. I think James is the most innovative one-on-one player, and now we're finding from a like maestro perspective is incredible from what I've seen. It comes down to like Clay and Kyrie. I'm still going to say I think Golden State is the best team ever assembled because Draymond and a lot of the pieces. I think this team has to win multiple championships before I can say they're the best team ever assembled.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a fair thing to say. I mean, it'll be always in the conversation because of what we see, but it's always in the biggest moments that we'll really start to judge, and we can't have that until we at least get to June. So with that part on the shelf, and as Rockets fans continue to just remind me that I never watched the NBA, which is just hysterical. I've only done it for 15 years, and I'm sorry if he moves to a better team and plays better. Sorry about that, but well,
the Rockets have a lot to be angry about, Alex.
No kidding. I mean, you know, honestly.
Memphis's bench outscored Houston the other night. 85 points.
The greatest take of all time, right, Alex?
You got to hear the radio call afterwards, Jay. I put it on my Instagram. We played it yesterday on audio files. Oh, my God. It's hysterical. He goes, the one thing was, normally right here we do player of the game. Tonight, it's no one. he was so mad about that game.
And then I watched Victor Oladipo play, you know, 35-plus minutes, and John Wall last night when they lost to the Cavs. So, yes, Houston Rockets fans have a lot to be angry about.
Yeah, right now they certainly do. But how about Pelicans fans? Because I watched Zion last night as well. And his shot chart is almost, like, disrespectful. Every single shot is in the restricted area against the Jazz, like a great defensive team with a great defensive big. And he literally just walked in their house and ate food off their table anytime he wanted to and helped lead them to a win. Are we like, right. Is what Zion's doing, is it this is great, but cautionary tale, Blake Griffin? Or is what he's doing, this is great, and watch him evolve his game the way Giannis maybe couldn't?
Well, two things. Number one, I give Stan Van Gundy a lot of credit. Point Zion is very different. Hmm. It's like and skill sets are different, but it's like a Gen Z version of John Stockton and Malone. I'm not saying they are John Stockton and Malone, but Lonzo Ball is straight up setting screens for Zion, and we're getting the matchups that they want, and Lonzo Ball is shooting 47% from the three-point line. That helps, and Lonzo's playing his tail off. But I will say this, Bart, you'll like this reference. I feel like an emotional light-skinned rapper right now. I feel like I'm going to go Drake on you. I have trust issues with Zion, man. Like, I do. Like, I think he could be one of the most fantastic players the game has ever seen. He was bullying through Rudy Gobert last night. Mm-hmm. But there's always a part of me, I'm like, played 24 games last year. I'm like, every time I see him go up and I don't see him, Allen, pull up for a mid-range jumper, or I don't see him implement styles in which can make the game easy where he's not increasing the probability of him always colliding with people. With that size and that frame, Anthony Mason-like body, with that weight that comes down, I get so worried every time. Maybe I'll just be an anxious person for his 20-year career, and I hope that's the case. But that worries me, man. I don't know if I trust it yet.
Well, that's why we compare him to Blake Griffin, because, you know, sometimes the worst thing that ever happened to a young player is he has success with his old Terminator, his old fastball, and he doesn't have to evolve his game and try and add more, you know, skill sets. And, you know, we see Zion this year looks pretty much like Zion last year. It doesn't seem like he's willing to either come up and even, you know, attempt even a bank shot, right, even an 18-footer. Right, and we know for him as he continues to hold that type of game isn't going to age well, and he's going to have to add something to his game. And if he doesn't start working on it now, he may end up like Giannis. You know, at least Giannis still attempts them. You know, I know every once in a while Zion will put up a three, but I think him having so much success this early is going to stop his growth and stunt his growth from being able to evolve his game.
Well, it's bully ball, Bar. I mean, he leads the NBA in shots blocked per game. That goes to show you how many times he attacks the rim with reckless abandonment. It's Rudy Gobert was there last night, and there were times, and I'm like, damn, you're just going to go right through him, huh? You don't care. Like,
over him.
He literally put Rudy on his back a couple of times. I'm like, okay, that's how he's going to play.
Because he's such a force, obviously, you know, because it's the ability to jump so quickly. Like Bart and I were saying this. He looks like an NFL player playing in the NBA. Like
he looks like Miles Garrett yesterday when we had the video of him on the court. That looks like Zion with less cuts.
It's got to be intimidating.
Bart, you know who he reminds me of, Bart? As a player, I played against in North Carolina a little bit, just from sides. Julius Peppers, yo. I remember Julius Peppers hit me in my damn chest one time, and I couldn't breathe for a week. I was like, why are you on this damn court? Who are you? And obviously that translates to the NFL. That's what Zion is. I feel like he's a more agile, skillful basketball version of Julius Peppers body-wise.
Mm. Yeah, that's crazy.
I mean, who was it that brought up Anthony Mason?
No, that was Wendy.
Was it
Wendy?
Wendy
talked about Wendy, and they both lefties, but, you know, he got more
springs.
What do
you think of that comparison?
I think he's Anthony Mason with Dominique Wilkins' athletic ability.
Yeah, wow.
Right? Like, with that Sean Marion second twitch jump.
Oh.
Like, all those things combined, you're like,
yeah, like Amari Stoudemire mixed with, there's so many things that, like, when people say, what's his comparison? Is it Charles Barkley? I think it's a bunch of stuff put in a blender, and you just blend it up, pour it into a glass, and that's Zion. It's a whole bunch of different things. But the question is, of course, is it sustainable? All right, I got to ask you, and it's Barton Hahn, we're talking with Jay Will.
We can just compare, you know, we can do like we do with, you know, Caucasian basketball players. We can just compare them to other Caucasian basketball players.
Like,
oh, Luka, he's like Larry Bird. I'm like, why do we always do this?
Right.
He's not Larry Bird, though.
He's not Larry Bird.
People forget Larry Bird.
LeBron James were more skilled.
Jay, do you remember, are you old enough to remember prime Larry Bird? Not back Larry Bird.
I'm talking
prime Larry Bird.
I remember prime Larry Bird. Yeah.
Do we forget that prime Larry Bird could reverse dunk on you?
Yeah, kept sending my Pistons home, yamming on them.
Like people forget this. Like prime Larry Bird was vicious. Like, he was not he was a great shooter, but was he a skill player? He was a physical player.
Physical player. Oh, Tyler Hero. He reminds me of White Chocolate. No, he does not.
Nothing.
Stop it.
Same team, same squad.
There's nothing like that at all. But that's, I don't know, that's just the sport.
He's like Cole Beasley. He's like Julian Edelman. No, he's not.
It's the it's just something about sports. I don't know, but... But speaking of Luka, I heard something interesting this morning. And again, speaking also of Wendy. So Brian Windhorst is talking on the Hoops Collective, we played it before, about how the Knicks, they're really building something and they're a little more attractive now. And it's heading towards what he feels and a lot of executives around the league feels, is that in the next 12 months, a star, superstar-level player is going to force his way to the Knicks. And this morning you suggested that player could be Luka Doncic. And I've got to ask, and I'm not saying you're doing this based on any information. You're probably basing it on, well, I'll ask you, like, are you basing this on, like, just purely speculation? And if so, what about that situation convinces you that Luka would be that guy?
It's sheer speculation on my part, even though I think I know a lot of people and I talk a lot of basketball every day in my life. And those people are pretty powerful people. But, you know, as I watched Dallas play night in and night out, we had our midseason NBA awards out on NBA Countdown the other night. And with my award, which was, what else can I do for you? I literally gave that to Luka Doncic, right? I was like, he accounts for 45% of their team's points between assists and scoring, which leads the NBA. I'm like, do you need him to be a dancer? Do you need him to sing the national anthem? I mean, are we playing? I don't know what we're doing, but he can do that. Like, what else do you need him to do? And after a while, like, if Kristaps is not it, if he's not it, and you're saying, all right, well, who else can you guys get me here in Dallas? And you're looking at Tim Hardaway Jr., which is the key to them unlocking his team right now for the money that you paid him. I'm all about Tim Hardaway Jr. getting his money. I love when players get their money. But if you can't start surrounding him, if you're Mark Cuban, you're like, man, like, you know how this is, Alan. Like, and if you're Bill Duffy, who was my agent, who's his agent, and you're looking at how they're rebooting things in New York because R.J. Barrett is a client of Bill Duffy's, you're like, man, Luka in New York? New York's figuring it out? Luka, an international player in New York City. Wow.
They thought they had that in Porzingis, right?
That looks and feels different.
What a hell of a trade that would be. Porzingis. Dallas will give you your picks back.
Give us Luka.
Like, we'll give you everything that you gave us, and we'll give it back to you. Like, it's just
I
know what it is.
In a second with Luka Doncic, if I were New York Knicks. In a second.
Well, that's the
you
other,
tell me what you want.
That's the other conversation, of course, is that one that Greeny started about building your – franchise around one player, and Luka is obviously one of those guys that you'd put at the top of that list. I just don't see how Mark Cuban,
the businessman,
ever go for, like, it doesn't matter what you'd offer him, he would just keep saying no, not because he doesn't want whatever return, it's because I don't want him in New York. Like, he can't, like, that's not good for his business. It would be terrible for his business to make it that, again, Deshaun Watson, trading Deshaun Watson, it'd be the same thing.
Yeah,
you just can't
exactly
do it. You just can't do it. I have another name.
Go ahead. Okay.
No, I have a name for you that I want to see you react to, because Bart and I both have said this, and it's just a guy I keep an eye on. and that would be Devin Booker. For similar reasons when it comes to connect the dots. Kentucky,
CAA, all the dots.
Yeah. Yeah, and the fact that he needs somebody to get hurt to be named an all-star 2 years in a row. Like, doesn't he need a bigger platform?
Oh, I agree, for sure. I mean, they are rocking out right now with CP3, and they looked, damn good. I'm curious to watch him play tonight.
Mm-hmm. And he's good. But, yeah. Like, people don't realize how good he is.
I mean, look, I love CP3. I thought CP3 should have been the guy that really got the alternative spot, because of AD. Devin Booker should have been a damn all-star. I mean, that's not it makes me really question sometimes who the voters are. But I will say the platform in New York City with World Wide West, with just the crew that's there.
Kenny Payne, right.
Kenny Payne, Kentucky crew, it makes all the sense in the world. I mean, look, I will tell you this. The more the Knicks keep winning, the more I know players are like, damn, okay, New York. Like, when's the last time we've said, I know as a player, as a player who's been around this game since, around the league since 2003, I never said once, okay, New York? Not once. I'm saying now, okay, New York? Like, that's a hell of a change. That's a shift of culture right there. Anthony Towns, who at the time, might want to venture there. I don't know.
Ooh. Yeah, now, are you saying that if this that's going on with the Knicks right now was happening 2 years ago, then KD would have come to the Knicks?
I think it would have been a different scenario. If their infrastructure was solid and it was stable and there weren't as many leaks and they were trending in the right direction and there was a plan on what other assets they can get, yes.
Wow.
I mean, because when you look at Devin and you look at the fact that maybe CP3 is only going to play maybe two more years – he has to be concerned with his future. And you look at what happened in the bubble.
Can we table this? Because we're running out of time, and I want to get to this last topic with you and also with Jay, if you don't mind. It's Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, talking with Jay Will. And that is, again, just only because we're running out of time, I just wanted to table that and move on to this one. And that is Zlatan Ibrahimovic once again reaffirms what he said the other day towards LeBron James and other stars when it comes to talking, stay out of politics, be great at what you're great at, and don't get involved in all that stuff. And I thought LeBron had the right answer when he talked about how I'm not the guy to come after. I do my homework. I don't think it's about him, talking about all the things he does in the community. I think I don't know why. Like, I'm still trying to figure out what Zlatan's motivation is to say this and then to double down on it. I'd like you guys, certainly both of you, would have perspective on this as well. So I'm just curious, Jay, first and foremost, just what you think of this back and forth that's going on between two superstars in the world when it comes to athletes being active, when it comes to politics, but also just having an influence over people.
Can I ask you guys both a question? Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
How many times on your show have you mentioned the names Zlatan?
Well, just twice this week, including today.
Okay.
Right.
Well, that's what this feels like.
But he's got 45 million followers on Instagram, though, so
I understand. But
clearly in the world, he matters.
This is what this feels like to me, though. Like, and it's fine. Like, it's fine if you have your opinion. But now to voice that opinion and essentially to take sides, when that just came out of left field, it feels like a marketing ploy to me.
Mm.
Like, and I know some people in this camp, like, it feels like, hey, I want to be heard. I'm going to create some tension and some notoriety. So I'm going to say this now. That just came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Came out of nowhere. For a guy who has a little bit of history talking about some of the injustices that he felt on a team in Sweden. So that's as a guy who constantly delves in business, like, that's what that feels like to me.
And for me as well, I mean, his statements are just a walking blah of contradictions, right? Because how can Muhammad Ali be your hero and say, oh, I don't mind athletes speaking out, but I don't want them to get involved in politics, when that's exactly what Muhammad Ali got involved in, right? When you talk about, they would call him draft dodger when he was speaking out about he didn't agree with the war. Well, that's politics. So you got to pick your argument and stay consistent with it. You can't flip-flop, man, because it comes off as ingenuine, and like you said, it comes off as a ploy. Because to me, like, what LeBron is doing is trying to better his people. And if he did some research and figured out what the history of the African-American athlete, whether it was Jackie Robinson, whether it was Lou Alcindor, Jim Brown, whether it was the coalition that they had, Muhammad Ali, then he would understand that black athletes have always spoken out. And that's the way that we've been able to change hearts and minds, because some people listen to athletes and they appreciate them as a person, but all, you know, as a person and as an athlete, and value their opinion because they are the voice for the voiceless, because they're the ones that have the platform to speak out about what's happening. Every time I talk to people, it's like, yeah, my life may be well, but everything that your family's dealing with, my family's dealing with as well. So I have to speak out about it.
Are we talking about politics? Are we talking about human rights, right? Because I think that Zlatan gets the two confused sometimes.
Right.
Like, I think it's more human rights than it is
That's
politics.
A good point.
People
just
I do think insert that into the equation to make it polarizing.
Jay, that's a great point, because I do think what he's trying to suggest is the idea that you say one thing here, but you won't talk about whether it's China or something else. And I feel
that's everybody else, Alan, because then all the people that say, well, you're not talking about China, well, guess what? They're tweeting that from their iPhones. So, I'm sorry, we can dive deep into this rabbit hole now if you want to talk about somebody that does a lot of research. So, I mean, you're saying, oh, well, LeBron, he's shady because he won't talk about China. Well, you're treating him from your iPhone. Where do your iPhones get made? And what are some of the stories about? Or you're wearing Nikes. Okay, you want to talk about that?
Right.
It just goes deep, man. It goes deep.
I also think, you know, again, it's also different culture. Like, you're here in the U.S., and there's just that there's a much different experience. There's a much different American experience than there is, obviously, some of the European experience. So I don't think it is anything. I don't think it's relatable. I think his criticism isn't relatable to LeBron's, to what LeBron is doing. I just feel like that's the world we live in, and that's what it is. I just don't understand how you could feel like that you have all these followers, and all you should do is just live your life as if you have no impact on anything with all these followers. So you're making all this money based on your fame and popularity, and you should just then exist without any awareness at all about what's happening to those people that are supporting you?
All fluff. People dying in the streets. You're like, oh, look at my car. Look at my house.
That's fine if you believe that, though. Why are you waiting until now? I mean, like, why are you waiting until now?
That's a good point, though.
I
like that. I wanted to know his motivation. That's the first thing I said earlier in the week. What is he getting out of this by saying this? Why would he do this? Why say this?
Well, it wouldn't shock me, Alan, if like a month from now or 2 weeks from now, like Zlatan launched some kind of line or some kind of business, right? Like, it's like a leading, like, how do I create a little bit of a trickle effect where all of a sudden pay attention to what I'm saying, pay attention to what, boom, I drop something.
It could be. Yeah, no, it could be. Jay, this is one of those conversations I hate cutting off because there is a lot more to dive into with it, but we'll have more time to talk in the future, and I look forward to it. Thanks, man.
All day. When you guys coming back in studio, man? So I'm back in studio now. I'm back.
What? All right. Seriously, now can you? So all right, we clearly have no influence.
I'm messing with you.
He tried to get Alan the line step.
He tried
to flip flop it all.
You want to trigger me? You want to trigger me? You talk about studio because I'm in this basement. I'm in a cave.
He like
I'm
people
to climb out of this thing.
Y'all got Bart some equipment that works though. I'm proud of you.
He like people under the stairs, man. You in the basement, man.
I do feel like people under the stairs. You know, I'm Herman. Who was it? Grandpa. That came out, the monsters came out of the staircase. The staircase opened up. Just dated myself. Jay's like, what are you talking about? Appreciate you, man. We'll talk to you.
Boys.
All right, Jay Weezy.
Jay Williams giving us the straight talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Always the best. All right, coming up next, as always, audio files. We stop talking about the headlines and we let the headline makers do the talking for us. Wait till you hear what we got for you next. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Bart and Han.
Women's History Month.
Yeah.
Bart, my mom is the reason why I'm involved in sports at all.
Me too.
When I was a little kid, she's a huge sports fan, and she taught me how to score a baseball game. I learned how to read, reading the headlines, sports headlines, the back of Newsday, newspaper on Long Island. Seriously, like that's what it was. And then hockey, she was such a big hockey fan, and she got me into that and always encouraged me to play, compete, you know, and all that stuff. So I know a lot of us have that, you know, your dad, you know, my dad would have a catch with my dad and stuff, but my mom's the one that really put the passion for sports, you know, inspired me with that. So
my mom signed me up for football.
So told you, I'm sick of you knocking everybody else around. Let's get on the field and do it.
She's like, what is that scar on your leg? I'm like, I don't know. She's like, I'm tired of you hurting yourself and I don't know what's going on. Let me get you somewhere where you can be safe. And at least I know why you hurt. So I'm signing you up for football.
And I like
she,
it. See?
She had a coworker that kept begging her. She was like, no, my baby ain't going to get hurt. And then I got hurt. And then I got hurt in the street. She was like, well, at least you can do it doing something organized. So
right.
Play football.
See? It's amazing, too. Well, one decision when you're
eight years old.
Right? One decision when you're a kid and how it could turn into something like what you have and also what I have, all different paths. All right. It's Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. You ready for audio files, by the way?
Let's do it.
All right. Let's get to audio files. Audio files is where we play you sound that we find interesting, maybe headline making, maybe breaking news. Stuff that we like to talk about, react to, and you can do certainly the same thing as well. So we begin. One more basketball note to make, because we spend so much time talking about other teams, we've got to get back to talking about the Knicks. Emmanuel Quickley, the excellent rookie on the Knicks, who's been fantastic, one of the top rookies in the league, was on the Michael Kay Show in New York. On ESPN 98.7. And he talked about what a lot of people are talking about when it comes to the Knicks and their success so far this season, that is Tom Thibodeau. And Quickley talks about what it's like to play for Tibbs.
I feel like Coach Tibbs is I don't feel like I could have had a better coach in my rookie year as far as someone who's just going to individually push me every day, challenge me mentally as well as physically, but mostly mentally challenge me. And he treats the last guy on the bench just like he treats the first guy on the bench, as far as what he expects, the effort that you have to give, consistency on a regular basis. So he holds everybody accountable, and that's all you can ask from a coach.
Bart, when you think about how people, the knock on Tibbs was, oh, players don't want to play for him. You know, what happened in Minnesota was young guy, he can't coach young players, that he's too tough on players, that his style won't work today. The grinding style, the defensive demand, and all that stuff. And all you've heard from Randall, from Toppin, from Quickley, anybody else you talk to, Nerlens Noel, they love playing for him. Is it about the type of players that he has to get?
It's exactly about the type of players. And it's also, you know, everybody you mentioned, even Randall, is considered a young player. So that's what it is. You can get young players, young legs can do that. Let's see if he can adjust. You know, you look at Gibson, Taj Gibson, guys who follow him around. Those are guys that have been with him a long time, so they have that trust. Yeah. They have that trust factor. But let's see if he can get a guy, say like a Booker, or get some other guys in here that's not trained. Well, maybe Booker because he came from Cal, so Cal is kind of like tough like that as well. So you become programmed like that. But let's say if he gets somebody in that's not programmed like that, you know, a guy that – you know, come from a program or, you know, plays a little different and is a superstar, can he relate to that guy? Because that's the next step, because those players are great fundamental pieces, but you're going to have to get a superstar in here. And, you know, you want to make sure you get the right type of superstar in here because they're going to clash if you get a guy that's not used to doing it a certain way, not used to being called out and treated the same. Like, no, I'm the superstar. I'm supposed to get treated differently. So when Quickley says you treat the last man on the bench the same as the best player, then that can potentially be a problem for a certain type of superstar. So you have to do your due diligence and understand that, hey, this guy can play in his league, but he may not just be a guy that can play for us. There's a big difference.
All right, the Jets also have a new head coach, Robert Saleh. He will take over now. Will they have a new quarterback? That's the question. We've gone back and forth about what the Jets should do with Sam Darnold. And you believe that if you can't get a guy like a Deshaun Watson and trade that number two pick, that they should stick with Sam Darnold. You know who else agrees with you? And it's rare you guys agree. Dan Orlovsky.
Oh, of course.
Here's what he said.
If you take a step back and look at this situation, the Jets and Robert Saleh and that staff made the decision to go there before they ever started to dive into these college quarterbacks. One of the reasons why, when they had their pick of job in the NFL, that they went to the Jets is because they saw something in Sam Darnold that they really liked. Just be very careful passing up on young quarterbacks in a short period of time when they had zero chance to show what they were capable of. Be very careful with that.
That was Dan Orlovsky on Get Up. I believe this was yesterday that caught my attention. So, yeah. Bart, you guys agree on something. You and
yeah,
Dan.
He's okay because we're kumbaya. He apologized for not, you know, giving me the credit. He did all that, and then we figured out we had the same birthday and all that type of stuff. So, you know, so it's like we're
brothers.
Yeah, we're in a respectable place right now. So, listen, Dan is right in this aspect, right? Because we talked about potentially, oh, what if the Jets trade Sam Darnold to San Francisco? Well, isn't he going to run this? So if we think that he can go to San Francisco and San Francisco would like Sam Darnold and he can thrive in that, well, aren't you going to run pretty much the same system? So wouldn't you want that young, cheap quarterback running the same system and for your team as well? So now instead of using number two to go out and get a quarterback, now you can go get a great player that can be great for any quarterback. And also you can move down and acquire more picks and get, you know, I always say, listen, you know, go with Sam Darnold, see what he got. Let him know that this is a make-or-break year. Treat him like Mitch Trubisky, saying, hey, we're not going to pick up your option, but if you play well, then you'll be our long-term solution. But you got 1 year to prove it. And if you do that, then, you know, we stay with you. If not, we're going to trade down and take that first-round pick that we get for next year for moving down, and we're going to have three first-round draft picks for whoever the disgruntled quarterback is, because maybe a guy like Russell Wilson says, hey, they didn't trade me last year, but, man, the Jets look good, and we got a house out there, and Sierra's there. Or Deshaun Watson says, wow, they've improved just as much as the Dolphins did, and they got three first-round draft picks, and it's New York. So maybe I'm ready to go. I'm buying time.
I like that. And might as well get a better look at Sam Darnold. All right, last but not least here on Audio Files, Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, is Dan Graziano. This was this morning on Get Up. And he just kind of casually puts this out there about something that we can expect to see in the coming NFL season. Take a listen.
Yeah, it's all ready to go, Greeny. I mean, it would be shocking if they didn't play 17 regular season games this year at this point. Everything's spelled out in the CBA in terms of how the schedules or how the pay schedule is adjusted for players. It says that if the owners get one new media rights deal done, they are able to trigger the 17-game season as early as 2021. The owners voted in December on how the schedule would work, like how the extra game would play out. You'd play a team from the other conference that finished in the same spot in the standings that you did, and then they'd alternate year to year. The AFC would have the home games 1 year, NFC the other. So it's ready to go. As soon as those TV deals are done, I think it would be very, very surprising if the owners didn't use their option to trigger the 17-game season and make it start in 2021.
Very interesting indeed. All right, we're gonna stop there with Audio Files. Bart, we will get your take and just go dive. We're going to dive deeper into this coming up next because this is not something you just give a take and move on as we normally do in Audio Files. This is something we got to dive a little bit deeper in, so we'll do that coming up next. The Undefeated presents A Room of Our Own, a one-hour special that explores the connection that black athletes have with the music and the impact of that association in empowering social movements. So, it debuted on Sunday. Now, you can get an encore presentation next Sunday, March 7th at 4 p.m. on ABC. So coming up, a 17-game season for the NFL. What it means. Bart's take next. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Bart and Hahn.
Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. A little Naughty by Nature for you. And I got to actually correct myself as we normally do at this point of the show, right? We find all our mistakes. And I said Dear Mama for that Tupac we played before, and obviously that was Keep Your Head Up. But I needed a reason to talk about our mom, so that's why I just kind of went that way. But anyways, the college basketball season is heating up, and that means Wendy's Wooden Watch has begun. Go to ESPN.com and search Wooden Watch for the list of Wooden Award late season top 20 nominees to watch this season as the season rolls on. I'm going to say it again. Cade Cunningham is that guy. Number one pick in the draft. It's happening. He had a 40-point game in overtime to beat Oklahoma, the Bedlam rivalry, this weekend. Saturday, he was fantastic in overtime. And then they play again, this time at Oak State. Packed house, by the way. It was a raucous play. I mean, that building was shaking. And they wouldn't let him score. Like, he was 15.7 rebounds, four assists. Only took 8 shots as they weren't going to let him go for 40 again. But his team still got the win, and that is all that matters. The John R. Wooden Award presented by Wendy's. All right, Bart, so with a couple minutes here, as we played in audio files just before, Dan Graziano said this on Get Up this morning, that, and he said it just sort of like off the cuff, that the NFL is ready to implement a 17-game season clause once the new TV deals are signed. How do you feel about, now as a former player,
yeah,
a 17-game season now for the NFL, which I guess felt inevitable,
yeah,
but now it's happening. How does that change the game?
I mean, they agreed to it in the CBA. That was the big hiccup, right? They want to be able to get that extra revenue. What that means is now players are going to be able to get more money. Now, we all understand that the NFL doesn't care about health and safety. It's about making money. And once you understand what the rules are, you can't complain about it. But now this also gives me more ammunition, because if this deal gets done before free agency, which happens, I believe, in 17 more days or 16 more days, then now we can properly negotiate these long-term deals, which should have a lot more money in it, and it should be able to have a higher salary cap for this year, knowing that we have all this time to get this new money allocated and saying, hey, this is exactly what we're going to be getting coming in. And now you can go ahead and say, you know what, as a player, give me an extra bye week so I can take 2 vacations during the season, not one. I can go to Turks and Caicos, or I can go to the Bahamas twice, and I can reset and have a good time and get my mind right.
Good. I mean, is that really what you'll see here? You'll see two. You think two buys is how
you
this will
to.
Be worked
if,
out?
If you're going to give it, if you're going to go ahead and give them another game, then you
it's
should
one
have
more game.
Another. But still, it's another game, and you know, guys are hurt and not healthy with 16 games. So you give them another buy, you can spread this season out a little bit more, and you can be able to have the opportunity to keep as many of your stars as possible healthy for as long
as
possible.
Does that mean you start the season much earlier? Are we getting like
mid-August? We want to start it later. We want to start it later. We don't want to speed the schedule up, because we want to juice all that time out to get guys as much practice time in between OTAs and things of that sort. But you also, the NFL has always been like a kept secret or a theory that they wanted to be able to have the Super Bowl during President's Week, and that gives them opportunity to be able to put on the greatest show ever and not have people have to go to work the next day. So this allows people to spend more money, have more time, and you know that helps the hosting city and all kind of things. It's all about the money, baby. We know
you're going to be thinking about me tonight as the Knicks try to stay above 500 and actually get the 2 games up in San Antonio against the Spurs team that just played last night and lost in overtime. You're thinking about me tonight? You're rooting for me tonight?
I'm rooting for you, because I know what happens if you come in, man. It'd be another parade. They did that last time after one win.
Going
what would they do if they go 2 games over 500?
Bart, I will see you tomorrow as always.
I holla.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio, or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.